This morning, I would like to speak about something that at times, up until I don't know how long, I asked April earlier this morning, we'll say less than a year, okay, that I was a little hard-headed and slow about learning. I had to verify with her that I am doing this because to me, I am doing it. I ain't there all the way there, but I'm getting there. If I had to use a title, I would use the miracle in your mouth. What you speak, what you say. Words are important, very important. But I want to talk about the miracle in your mouth. There's people here today, and there's people across the world that can hear my voice from social media and on the website that need a miracle. At times, we all need a miracle. You need it in your health, in your marriage, in your house, in your family, in your business, and in your personal lives. Lord knows I have, in every category. The lost, unsaved people need the very first miracle, to have faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, become born again. Now, some of these things I'm going to speak about, they have learned and they apply in their life, but the very first thing they need to know is Jesus is Lord and Savior. Without him, they have no hope. They're fooled. They're deceived by Satan. The born-again Christians also need miracles. Now, a lot of people, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The born-again Christian needs miracles for the things that's happening in their life. God's word says plainly, the devil, Satan, our adversary, he's not going to lay down. He will fight. He don't have much to fight with, but what he's got, he knows how to use it. And the only way he can have any victory over a born-again person is to deceive you, deceive us. Lord knows I've been deceived as much as anybody. I can't. You know, I feel like looking out here and everybody's here this morning, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because I'm inspired by most everybody in this room, because I've seen things transform in your lives, and I've seen things happen, and I've heard your testimonies. And I was the one that didn't have all of this. Sometimes it would come, thank God, glory, hallelujah. And then whenever I really wanted the miracle, at times it didn't happen. But the miracles that we can speak, we have that power. As a born-again child of God, it's our connection with the Lord. Now, even the lost people know, you have motivational speakers, they'll speak about positive things, speak positive things, self-will, determination. There's a lot of unsaved people that know how to use this concept to make their lives better, and it will to a point. But ultimately, there is a stopping point, because without Jesus in your life, you can only go so far. Now, in man's eyes, somebody may be fully successful that has done this, and their lives may look like it. But on the inside, and I know that there's people in here that looking at me right now, and I know it myself. On the inside, when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, there's something in there that nothing out there in the world can feel. That's a miracle. That something in there is indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've been hearing a lot about it. Thank God. I've been sitting under teaching and preaching here for over 10 years, and some of it I just got a year ago. Yeah. Brother Monty ain't all so slow in his ways. Sometimes he's slow in his thinking. Now, it wasn't that I didn't want to do it, but sometimes you got to really listen. And you got to get your mentality. What is a mentality? Your state of mind, the way you think. When you get that aligned with the Word of God, there ain't no stopping you. Because you'll be on within the confines of the will of God and His Word. And as long as you're in there, you can't be stopped. Now, you might say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. I just said in the confines of God's will and God's Word. Because every truly born-again believer is not going to go outside that. Why? Because they love God. They want to please God. And when they do, that indwelling Holy Spirit bears witness with their witness with the Father, and you can't, there ain't nothing will replace that. And when you need that miracle, that's the avenue that you go. And one of the ways that you do it, when the most effective, Travis, we put up Proverbs 18:21, please. I have seen this verse, I have heard this verse, until about a year ago, I'm living this verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I know we don't need a translation, but to make it real simple, what you want when you speak is what you're going to get. And you might say, well, I want this and I want that. Well, speak it. If you're a born-again Christian, within God's will and God's word, you can have it if you speak it. Notice it says death and life. There's no in-between. You're either one or the other. I never thought it up here, you know, mentally remember thinking it, but I always fell in that and part. And there ain't no and part. It's either or. If you don't speak the power of life through Jesus Christ our Lord into your life, you're going to be speaking death. It's just plain and simple. Even though lost folks might say, well, I can do this and I can do that. Now, self-determination can take you a long ways. That's because God, our Father, is a testimony of how He created the human being, mankind. We're made in His image. Even without God, our bodies will operate certain ways. Well, you say, well, how come is that? Well, even though you're not saved, you eat, you breathe, you see, you walk, you talk. Although it's not within the will of God. When you're born again, you couple everything that God has made inside this man, your body, the person that you are, with your triune being, your heart, or your spirit, your soul, and your body. When you put all that together, and you got the power of God inside you through the Holy Spirit, you become an unstoppable force. Satan knows it. Therefore, you become instantly targeted by the forces of evil. And the only way that he can stop you is deception. Just like Balaam told the king, was it Balak, I think is his name? He said, I cannot curse the ones that God has blessed, but I can tell you, O king, I'm going to paraphrase, how to cause them to curse themselves. That's what Satan does, especially to born-again people. He cannot curse you. He cannot hurt you. But he can make you think he can take your very life. He can take your family's life. No. You need to back up. Are you a tither? There's power in that, and I'm not getting on that. Are you born again, first and foremost? Are you a tither? Amen, hallelujah. All right, you got two weapons right there. One, nobody can take away from you. And two, if you practice tithing in your life, what does the Bible say? God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will open up the windows of heaven so that you cannot receive the blessings I'll give you. And that's just a couple of scriptures. I got a bunch more. I ain't gonna be able to read them all. But there is no in-between, no gray area. I didn't understand this for a long time, and I didn't realize I was trying to live in that in-between area, and nothing was working. Why? Because there's no in-between. Jesus told his disciples, when they asked about some people preaching and teaching that weren't with them, they asked him, what about these people? I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember the verses. And Jesus said, if they be for us, then they are not against us. I firmly believe that nobody for very long can teach and preach the Word of God, I mean the real Word of God, in their lives without being born again. Now, I believe they can get up and speak what's in the text and the words, and they can put a lot of things together, because there's lots of people out there that do that for motivational stuff and all other kinds of seminars and stuff. But sooner or later, and I seen it a lot when I was growing up and didn't realize it, sooner or later that self-made man trying to practice church will fall apart. And when he does, or she does, they're going to realize they need something, and it's Jesus. And I've seen that happen to preachers and pastors and preachers' families that, you know, I've seen them come to church for several years, and then they get born again. myself, growing up in church, when I was young, I always believed I was born again. I've testified and testified about it. But right here in this altar, when I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and become born again, my life changed forever. And it'll never go back the way it was. I don't care what it is, like the world says, come hell or high water, or anything that comes against me, I'm not worried about it. I used to worry a lot about certain things. I'm like, well, I'm born again. Well, the Lord ain't got enough money this week. It took a while to beat that enemy down because I didn't do it right for years and years and years. I was stuck into one way of thinking. There's power, death, and life. Which one do you want? Which one? Exactly right. Jesus told the Israelites, I set before you blessing and curse, death and life. Choose blessing and life. I mean, it's almost a no-brainer. But the power of the deception of the devil, because he rules this world, is so strong, especially nowadays. And not to get off on a tangent, but if you think it's bad now, you ought to read Revelation chapter 9. I believe it starts in verse 12. We won't be here, in my opinion. We're going to be in heaven. The church is going to be raptured out. I firmly believe it. But the people that's left here is going to have to face something that's going to make this day and time right now, as bad as it seems, like seem like a walk in the park. But praise God, while I'm here, I'm going to walk in spirit, I'm going to walk in truth, I'm going to walk in faith. Now, like I said before, sometimes I'm a little slow. Then I get up here and I get a revelation that you people probably already, you folks already have. I'm up here like a little kid with a new toy. Yee-haw, yippee, yippee. I understand, but that's just me. I can't help. Like Brother Scotty says, it's in here, it's got to come out. And sometimes when it comes out, so I act a little crazy and goofy. I've acted crazier and goofier for worse reasons. What you say, if you say good things for you in your life, being born again, it will act as gold and silver. Everybody knows that gold and silver is great and precious to have financially. The Bible speaks about it as gold and silver as being precious. Or you can speak death, which is like a poison. It will negatively alter your life to the point of destroying everything in your life. And how? Right here. It'll destroy your relationships with your family. It'll destroy the relationships with your coworkers. It'll destroy every fiber of your being. And Satan's sitting back and said, I got him. I firmly believe that. Getting past that point is kind of hard sometimes. All your words have meanings. The Bible plainly says, Jesus said, every idle word you will give an account for. Now, I don't think it's wrong to have a little fun. You know, I'm the one the world's worst about picking on people, using my little phrases, especially my wife. She's shaking her head, yeah. I've to the point where I raised Blake. He's almost like a little terrorist. I don't mean it that way. He's a pain sometimes. He's not a terrorist. He's a pain. He drives the animals at the house crazy. He drives us crazy. I asked Damien one time, how come you don't talk to Blake much? He's annoying. You ever talk to him? Oh, yeah. But I love him. But I'm also like that too, and I don't mean to be. I just like to have fun. But you can go too far. Because I have told the boys before, they would say something and do something, and, oh, it's a joke, it's a joke. I said, look, it's not good to joke about everything because your words have meaning. If you joke about everything, your life's going to be a joke. Now, I didn't say you couldn't have fun, but there's a time, the Bible says, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, for every season, there's a time. And then when there's time to be serious and there's time to have fun. But you never want to have fun at somebody else's expense, making fun of people. Those kind of things are going to come against you. Instead of tearing someone down with your words, even yourself, why not build yourself and other people up with your words? I'll be the first to admit, I'm real, real strict about rearing children when it comes to respect. I was raised that way. My mother, according to what the stories I've heard about Sister Teresa, she was kind of like my mother. Buddy, when you misbehave my mother, whew, you better stay away from her, because when you saw her, you was going to get tore up. And she just didn't stop. I mean, until she got, you know, I'm not saying she's a bad mother. She was a good mother. She loved me. But she was strict in her upbringing. My daddy was real strict. But, buddy, you get on the subject of respect and disrespect, and he would almost become like a wild man, because respect was high on his list. And he instilled that in me. And I kind of, you know, I passed it on to our kids. Well, sometimes they get disrespectful with their words and their deeds. And you might think, oh, those kids, everybody tells us we got the best kids in the world. They're so respectful and so nice. We're like, huh? Yeah, they are. But at times, you know, they're human. They're disrespectful to their parents. They have looks and words and mannerisms that they should not say whenever we tell them that things they need to do, they better not do. Now, granted, they pretty much getting mature and getting a little bit out of it. Still working on Blake, but he's getting there. I love them all. I love them with everything I have. But I taught them that, and that's one way I noticed I was getting a little bit on the side of, you know, I'd get a little too ill. I mean, I'd raise my voice. I'd become like everybody in the neighborhood would hear me inside the house. And it wasn't too long ago, Brother Scotty was preaching, and I'm still talking about the miracle in your mouth, and he was preaching about, and Sister Teresa the same day spoke about it, do not provoke your children to wrath. What does that mean? Don't be dadgum hard on them that they don't want to be like you and they don't want to serve Jesus. Now, granted, you have got to be strict, and you've got to stand firm, and you've got to stand on the Bible and God's Word. But you don't have to be like I was sometimes. And I went to him and apologized to him for it several times. And I asked the Lord to help me, because that became a revelation to me. I don't want to drive them away from God and God's ways and God's church and God's Word and to serve God. I don't want to do that. That's not what being a dad is. So I took the revelation and I spoke it. I said, Lord, help me not to be that person. I want to be the dad that they love, they respect, and even if they don't want to be like me because of some of my old-fashioned ways, at least they want to serve you in their own way, according to your word. And God started changing something inside of me. Now, when we speak words, it's not the same as thinking them. And you might say, well, ain't thoughts speaking in your mind? Well, maybe so if you start splitting hairs. But the Bible plainly says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, not the thought. It says it right there. If you believe the Bible, then you got to get that settled. And once you learn that, once Monty learns that, then he can start moving forward. And the Bible message is plain. Control your tongue, or it will destroy all that you hold dear. Have you ever noticed you have seven openings in your head that God made? Now, in the Bible, seven is the number for completion. But God knew what he's doing. You got two eyes to see with, two ears to hear with, two nostrils to breathe with. You only got one mouth. God knew and knows we're going to have a hard enough time controlling one of them. We sure don't need two. I'll be the first one to say amen. I couldn't imagine me with two mouths. That would confuse my brain. You know, that scripture, don't let the right hand know what the left is doing. I'll be, Thank you, Lord. I only got one to have to keep up with, and that's enough for me. Travis, you put Job 22:28 up, please. It's another scripture that declares. It says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. The light of the Lord God Almighty. word decree there means to speak out, to declare. Once again, it does not say, thou shalt also think a thing. It says decree. Decree is a English type of word for declare. I don't know what you'd call it. I ain't got no label for it, but it's in that same neighborhood and family. Declare means to speak out, speak with words. When we speak out looking for a miracle, we have the power to do that. Now, I'll change gears here a little bit. Starting in Genesis, going all the way through the Bible, there's, a lot of miracles. I don't know what the number is. The devil tried to get me, well, won't you see if you can find out what the number is. I don't need the number. But it started in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it goes down several verses, said, and he spoke, and light was, and light still is. That word was, in our language, don't mean past tense. It still is. And like Sister Tracy likes to use me for, man measures light at 186,000 miles per second. I by no means think that's the speed of God's voice. I don't think you can measure that. But sometimes mankind likes to get himself in the way of stuff. But starting in Genesis, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the light, the clouds, the sky, the trees, the mountains, the earth, everything declares a testimony. God took a handful of dirt and breathed into it and made man. A lot of people will not believe that. Really? Well, after a person dies and you go to the funeral home, how many people have you looked at after they were passed on and their bodies laying there and you say, that just don't look like them? That's because that's what's left of the form of what God started with. It's still formed in a body. But when it's all said and done, it goes back to where it was at. And the spirit is with the Lord. And the person is judged. But all these things speak to the miracle that there's a greater being than man, a creator, God, our Father in heaven. And you see the miracle where God delivered the Jewish people from Egyptian bondage by many, many miracles, starting with the most notable, the crossing of the Red Sea, held the sea back. They crossed on dry land, not mud. They didn't have to hold their garments up. They went across it just as a victorious soldier in a march would, because they were victorious. Then there's a lot of others on through the Bible, and I don't have time to go through every one of them. We go up to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. A man was born into this world by the Holy Spirit and God himself, and he used the woman Mary to bring him into this earth. He is of God. He's not of man. Although he has got the same body made that we have. He is God and he is man. He's got a man's body, and he came from heaven. He was God. Laid his glory down. That's a miracle. That's love. Jesus laid his glory down to come to this earth and pay the price that we would have to pay for the dominion of sin and the committing of sins in our life. He paid a redemptive price, a very high price. Jesus' ministry was full of miracles. A lot of people said, well, maybe they came to hear what he was teaching. Well, I'm sure they heard what he was teaching, but the Bible says in several places when they heard that Jesus was healing, the four men that brought the paralyzed guy in the bed, I don't know where that's at right now in the Bible, they heard, and through their faith, they took their friend, I'm supposing their friend, of whatever it happened to be, to Jesus. Why? To get a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood heard. Why did she go to Jesus? To get a miracle. How did she get that miracle? It says she spoke, if I can only touch the hem. With her faith and her words, she became healed. Jesus told her in the end, thy faith has made thee whole. But she had to convince herself. Now it says plainly in the Bible, and some other scriptures, we'll start with these. before I go ahead. I have heard in my past, and I've heard before in some teachings here and there that I only listened to for a little while, that miracles went out with the apostles and Jesus. That's not true. I'll have scripture for it a little later. If you go to a church that don't believe in the miracle work and the power of our God Almighty, our Father, I suggest you find another church. I'd be more than welcome to invite you to this church. We believe. We have seen. I have saw. We have testified numerous times. And like Brother Scotty says, it may seem like a story to some, but whenever that miracle come through for each and every one of us, it was a life-changing event. And it will be the next time, even if it happens to be along the same lines. When we go to church, we should expect that same power to be happening, not only in our lives, but in our church. The people that go to church, I base it on our services, 2 times a week for roughly 2 hours of service, and that's all you expect. Please, please, please get in your Bible and get to know the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, because it's a lifetime thing. It's not a church service thing. And the people that teach that miracles still don't happen, Lord, have mercy. I pray for you, because I'm not going to speak it. I've had too many things happen in my life before I ever got born again that could nothing be but a miracle from Lord God, and I wasn't even asking for it. He was gracious and spared my life several times to where I could make it to 2014 and be truly born again and be here today and raise a family and an admonition in God's will and His Word and testify of His goodness and His love in my life. And as I said, we should also expect miracles in our life. 2 verses. Travis, you put up Mark 9:23, please. And I know we all know these verses. I know them up here. Now I know them in here. And I have for a little while. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. Jesus, when I read this, Jesus talking to me, Jesus says to Monty, if you can believe, all things are possible to you if you believe. Now, when you speak things, you have to speak it with faith. We know that. How many people in here, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, it's just an example, myself included. I have spoken things I did not truly believe. Half-heartedly. A little bit. Okay, we'll see. That's not the way God works. Monty, if you can believe, when you get your thinking changed from maybe, we'll see, I don't know, to yes, praise God, your word says it, I believe it. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not a chant. That's not a formula. That's not a magical way to do anything. That's where the supernatural power of God comes from heaven, needs the natural power in this world and conquers it, and things happen. That's called a miracle. And church members, man, I'll have to hurry. Church members have this power, and you can use it. We have this anointing inside us. We've spoken. Me, Brother Scott, and Sister Teresa, all have spoken about it. Lots of people have spoken about it. Now, Travis, you put up Romans 8:28, please. These are 2 very powerful verses. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, if you connect these 2 scriptures... all things, I'm going to paraphrase, if you believe, all things are possible and work together to the good of them who? That love God and are called. Every born-again person in here is called. Now, I ain't talking about fivefold ministry, but you're called to do something for the Lord. It might be, as we said before, our Sister Teresa and Brother Scotty's taught us, carry boxes. Be the door person. Be an usher during service. It may be the fivefold ministry. Evangelist, apostle, teacher, I think preacher's in there. But whatever. We all have the ministry of reconciliation, and I didn't give Travis this verse, but it's in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that mean? I'm going to use an old phrase, tell my age. Some of y'all might have heard it. I've heard older folks when I was younger say, they used to say it about me, even though my dad looked different than me, they would say, you're the spitting image of Gerald Hall. What does that mean? I asked my mother one time, I was, second, third grade, what does that mean, Mom? She said, you look just like him, you talk just like him, you act just like him. Now, I don't want to take away from the awesome power of God, but I want to be that image of the Lord God Almighty in my life. I want to walk like he wants me to walk. I want to talk like he wants me to walk. I want to act like he wants me to walk. I want to speak like he wants me to speak. I want to be a light that he wants me to be. And every time in my life I think I've got all these things together and Monty's doing so good, the Lord points something else. Read that right there. Okay, Lord. Sometimes, like Brother Scott said, I don't like it. One of the big problems I've had about speaking things, I'm going to give you a tell on me. Y'all know I drive a truck. I drive a lot of traffic. And truck drivers are not any special people. There's some of them out there that think they're God's gift to the highway. Everybody else out there is stupid except them. Now, I'm not paraphrasing. I mean, they act like it. Now, I know I'm not. But, you know, when somebody does something not smart, like pulling out in front of an 80,000-pound 18-wheeler that only has 10 brakes and can only, you know, it takes 100 feet to stop it at running 55 miles an hour. The best trucks there is out there. That and I had a bad habit. So what's the matter with you? Are you stupid? You idiot. I don't do that anymore. I got this little saying now. I say, Lord, touch that muscle in their brain that's causing them to act this not smart way. Or I just go, you know. I mean, it still frustrates me because I don't want to hurt nobody. And the Lord laid it on my heart. You know, I've toned my driving down quite a bit in the truck because you've got to be, you know, you got to go, go, go because they want you to do so much. Well, I kind of slowed down a little bit because we had a little addition to our family 8 months ago. Her name's Athena. Man, if there's a truck driver out there that I've seen them do this, they will follow a vehicle so close that if you stood between them, stretch your arms out, you could touch both vehicles at 60 and 70 miles an hour. Now, what's going to happen if that vehicle in front of the truck has to stop all of a sudden? God help that person. God help me if that happens. It's not going to happen. But if that situation, I don't want to hurt anybody, especially a child. So I stay way back. God's helped me with that. But if you connect these two and speak them, Monty, if you can believe, all things are possible. Because I, your Father, work everything together for the good for you. Because you love me and you're called according to my purpose. Put your name in the Scripture. There's nothing wrong with that. It'll make it real to you. When it becomes real to you, it'll start being revelation. You know, look at me. I don't care how I appear to other people when it comes to relaying the things of God. If they want to call me crazy or call me a Jesus freak or a Bible thumper or whatever name they want to put on me, that's fine because I love God. I've learned some things. I'm really thankful because there's some things, like I said earlier, in my life that could have kept me from being here. I would have died without Jesus. That's scary to me. Why? Because I know that there is a devil, there is a heaven, there is a hell, that there is a Lord God in heaven, creator and more powerful than anything I could ever think. and to die and have to face that kind of righteous judgment without Jesus, according to God's Word, is a scary thing. It should be. But a lot of people are deceived. But when we connect these two verses, you know what happens? I was talking about mentality a while ago. Mentality is a state of mind, the way you think. When you start connecting verses of the Bible together, your thinking changes. Why is that? Because there's power in the Word of God. It's His voice written down on paper. When you do this and you start understanding and you starts changing your life, you'll know the authority and the power of God in your life. You'll know and understand the spiritual realm. And there is a spiritual realm, spiritual world out there. You will know the power of God Almighty inside you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You'll know how to speak against evil, against the adversary, against every demonic, evil thing that comes against you. And you'll know how to speak the power of God loosed on the things that are coming against you to stop it, how to bind it. What did Jesus say? The Father has given me all power in heaven and earth. And He told Peter, He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He was not talking about the physical rock. He was talking about knowing who Jesus is. If you read that scripture, and I hadn't got it in my, written down, but it's the power, it says in there later, the power of loosing and binding. Whatever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. That's powerful. The lost doesn't have that. Only the born-again Christians do. And how do you get it? Well, I just showed you Scripture. It did not say if you think it. It says if you speak it. Philippians 4:13, please, Travis. Now, like I said, I know we have all heard these verses. I don't have to read them, but I'm going to read them. Because I'm not going to rely on my memory. I'm going to rely on God's Word. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you get all of these things together and you understand how God made you, and you get born again, and you understand, and I understand what God has done for us, you get the I can mentality also. I can be healed from this disease and affliction. I can have a better marriage. I can have a better life. I can get free from an addiction. Not recover, free. It's a big difference. I can recover from the financial crisis created by whatever created it. Yourself, things in the world. I can be delivered from anger, jealousy, fear, and doubt, just to name a few things. I can climb this impossible mountain trial that is before me. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. That has become a revelation to me just in the last few months. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's powerful. Proverbs 21:23, please, Travis. I got to hurry. Boy, I don't have much time. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. If you look up and interpret the word troubles, there's one version that interprets it calamity. You can talk your way into depression. You can speak your way into sickness. You can even speak your way into an early grave. That's a medical, man-proven, scientific thing. People of God, you can speak your way into prosperity. And I'm not talking just about finances. You can speak your way into a closer relationship with God. You can speak your way into having the things God has laid out for you. You can speak your way into having peace and joy and love and faith and meekness and temperance and patience and all of those things. There's a miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in my mouth. Everything that we need. It's in here. We read it, we declare it, and we speak it. Psalms 118:17. Please, Travis. I'm going to read a few of these. I've got a couple of minutes. What did I do to that piece of paper I had? I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Once again, I, Monty, shall not die. Now, this body's going to die. But I'm not going to die from disease. I'm not going to die early. And I'm not going to die outside of God's will. I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Travis, can you go to the next one? I didn't have that paper where I had them listed. Psalms 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his blessings. Come back up there. Bless the Lord, Monty, and forget not all his benefits, the Lord, who forgiveth all mine iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I've got quite a few of these. I may not get to all of them, but there's, when you start reading God's Word, there's a vast amount of scriptures out there to speak into your life, if you so choose to. Well, Travis, you can go to the next one. We ought to know this. I mean, with our eyes closed. Thank you, Brother Scotty. Thank you, Sister Teresa. And all these blessings shall come on thee, Monty, and overtake me. If I shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord my God, blessed shall Monty be in the city, and blessed shall Monty be in the field, and blessed shall Monty be in the fruit of his body, and the fruit of his ground, and the fruit of his cattle, and the increase of his kine, and the flocks of his sheep. Blessed shall Monty be, Monty's basket be, and my store, meaning what I have stored up. You can put your name in these scriptures and declare them over your life. You can speak them into your children's life. I have prayed for every one of my children. Laid hands on their head and prayed a blessing into their life. It says, he sent his word. God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destructions. Don't need any explanation. He, God, giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they, Monty, that wait upon the Lord, shall renew his strength, and he shall mount up with wings as eagles, and he shall run and not be weary, and he shall walk and not be faint. I have had to speak that a lot because sometimes my body don't want to run at all. It don't even want to move. I really like this one too. The Lord is Monty's shepherd. Monty shall not want. Praise God. He, my Lord, will make Monty to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk, Monty walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Monty will fear no evil if he so chooses. Because God's rod and his staff is with me. His word. Okay, Travis, I think I can do one more. I had this on my t-shirt yesterday. I got a t-shirt. And sometimes I forget it's on there. Finally, Monty. Finally, Monty. That suits me. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I had a whole bunch more, but I'm not going to be able to get to them. Now, this is turned off. This thing right here can be a blessing and it can be a curse. I suggest you make it a blessing. How would I do that? You can go on that thing and find almost anything that you want to find, things that's not good and good. Find you a Bible app. Type in healing. Type in strength. You'll get everything that Bible app lists in the Bible by those words. I thank God for April. She's got two places, at least two in the house, one right behind where she sat. Little post-it notes now. They're 3x5 like this. One wall, half wall covered, and then our bathroom. And I was reading them. It's just powerful. I need to read them more. That's all I got this morning. I got to stop. Thank y'all for listening to me and putting up with me. I love y'all. Anybody got anything you want to say?